Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And today we continue in this great study series through the book of Ephesians, and we're delighted that you have joined us. Today it's session 13, and if you need a catch-up, or there's an archive that you can access to hear them again, or for the first time for that matter, but a little bit more on that later. But right now it's time to get into today's exciting study, and it's been a great one so far, and looking forward to this one, Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in Ephesians chapter 6 today. We didn't finish all of what we wanted to do last week, so we're going to pick up in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 5, and we're going to go all the way down through verse 20 today. And so last week we talked about relationships, and we talked about them in light of this command in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. That's the imperative. That's what God is calling each and every one of us to do. And how are we filled with the Spirit? When we're filled with an understanding of the love of God. So what Paul is saying is that love needs to be the motivator. Love needs to be the compelling force within all relationships. And he talked about husbands and wives and how their unity, how the fact they've become one flesh in this bond called marriage, how sharing the love of God looks within that framework. Then he talked about children and parents, and primarily about dads, about fathers, that we shouldn't exasperate our children. We shouldn't make them angry. And we can do that. We can do that very easily. So we needed to be aware of that power that we have, and to allow the love of God to control us and how we deal with our children. And boy, that's a win for us and a win for our kids. And then this next section, this is a sensitive section, certainly today, but it's about slaves and masters. And back in the Roman Empire, this was just a reality. There were slaves and there were masters. Now, what happens to slaves and masters when they come to Christ? And that's what this is all about. How does a slave begin to act differently? How does a master begin to act differently as well? And so this is what Paul is talking about. So Paul is not condoning slavery. He's not saying that it's okay. As a matter of fact, the whole book of Philemon is about Philemon's slave Onesimus and Paul's appeal to him to set him free.
Right.
So there is that. We know that Paul thinks that slavery is a bad thing, and that all people should be free. Free in Christ and free here on this planet. But the reality back in that day was that there were slaves and there were masters. And Richard, tell us a little bit about the statistics. How many people back in those days were considered slaves?
Well, it varied depending on where you were in Rome's history. At one point, just before the empire, so the empire started with the Caesars. Okay, so just before the Caesars started, slaves made up 30 to 40% of the population.
My.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it dwindled as the empire moved on to 10 to 15% of the population. But it dwindled not because there were fewer slaves, but because the empire grew so much larger and there were more and more people.
More citizens.
Well, not all of them were citizens, but they certainly weren't all slaves. It was just the population grew. And so slavery was a very common thing. One of the painful ideas of it is that 49% of all slaves were owned by the Roman elite, who made up less than 1.5% of the total population of Rome. And so you've got a very, very few people controlling literally the lives of a huge number of people. And that's the kind of thing Paul's running into everywhere he goes throughout Rome, the idea of Rome, the whole Mediterranean area. Half of these slaves worked in the countryside, in agriculture, in the quarries, etc. The other half worked as domestics and workers in commercial enterprises and factories. So don't think of a slave as just some, you know, some person who is beat to death by the time he's 20. Some of these slaves were very well educated. They were doctors. They were engineers. They built the roads. They helped quarry the stonework for all of that kind of thing. And the problem with them is that they were property.
Yes.
A citizen could vote. A citizen could own property. A citizen could be legally married. A citizen could have children. A slave couldn't do any of that, even though they coupled and they had children. Their children were automatically the property of the owner. And this whole mix goes on, and you could have slaves who were freed. Their owner could free them. Generally speaking, when that happened, they stayed with the owner because not all owners had to recognize their freedom. Some of them purchased their freedom. Those were the freed men, if you've ever read about them in the New Testament. And so if you were a freed man, you were a citizen and could vote, but you couldn't hold office. But your children now could vote and hold office and were every bit a citizen of the country. Well, there were all these other people, like most of Israel, for example. The Jews were neither slave nor free in this situation. They were just a subjugated people. And so that's why you had fewer and fewer slaves, even though you didn't have more and more citizens. But this whole mix is a dynamic that had to be challenged by Christianity. Okay? As we'll see here, how did Paul deal with both slaves and masters? And he says, right, you know, what you're going to be seeing here has nothing to do with the legalities of Rome, but everything to do with who we are in Christ.
And the reality of Christ.
Yes.
And being filled with the Spirit. So it was a reality back in that day. Mm-hmm. You know, if Paul could have made a statement, he would have made a statement that, hey, slavery is a sin. It is awful. It is terrible to look at another human being and to say he's nothing more or she is nothing more than property. Mm-hmm. The gospel of Jesus Christ dignifies all human beings.
Yes.
And raises them to a level that their worth is valued by God's action toward them. And that act was seen in Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He offers us life. That's where our real worth, that's where our mm-hmm. dignity lies, that's where our identity lies. And so Paul is saying to these folks, you have a new identity. Maybe in society you are looked at as either a slave or a master, but your new identity is in Christ Jesus. So your actions one toward another need to be based on your new identity in Christ. So that's
yes.
why he would say, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. That's just a phrase for humility. And with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. So he said, hey, just see this as serving the Lord, loving this person, even though the situation is not the ideal situation. It's a worldly situation. It is brought about by rulers and authorities and those cosmic forces. And we're going to deal with that in just
yeah.
a minute. But so if you find yourself in this situation, you're a new creature in Christ, then allow this new identity to shape your actions toward other people.
Absolutely. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad, excuse me, we're glad that you're with us for session 13 of this Friday study series based on the book of Ephesians. Now, if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can catch up at our teaching archive. That's basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, Basic Gospel is listener-supported, everybody. Your gifts help us continue on the air and online every weekday, proclaiming the truth of the new covenant in Jesus Christ, and your gifts this month will help us continue to reach out. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift. Now back to our study.
Well, thanks, Bob. So he says for slaves to obey their masters with humility, to do so, do the will of God from the heart. as to the Lord, not to man.
Yes.
So you're not loving this master in order to please him, to gain his approval or that sort of thing. You have a something that transcends that. That your love is sourced from Jesus Christ himself. So he's living and manifesting his life in and through you. And so you're doing this as to the Lord, not to man. And then he says, whatever good is done, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether free or slave. So God is not so unjust to overlook what you were doing by faith in him. He sees that, and all things are going to be made right. That's the hope of the gospel. And so we can count on it. In the meantime, you just go about being who you are in Christ Jesus. And so he says to the masters, do the same thing to them. Treat them accordingly. Treat them as new creatures in Christ Jesus, just as you are. And stop your threatening. You know, if you're in power, if you're in control, if you are the superior and somebody is inferior as far as the relationship, I mean, humanity, we're all on the same footing. We all needed to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But the worldly system can create a hierarchy where somebody is in the lower position and somebody is in the higher position. And so if you're in the higher position, you can abuse your authority. We see that happening all the time. We see people using their power to keep other people down. It's the way of the world. It's what we see day in and day out. And a part of that is using threats. I'm going to threaten you. I'm going to take away your livelihood. I'm going to keep you from ever amounting to anything. I'm going to objectify you, use you, and threaten to expose you if you ever say anything. I'm going to blackmail you. So he's saying, masters, as a child of God, leave the threats behind.
Off the table.
That's not part of this new life. That's not part putting on the new you. So stop the threatening and do this, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. So the same with the master. You're no big deal as far as God is concerned. You were lost, you were dead, and God saved you by his grace. So recognize that and treat one another with a sense of humility, being submissive one to another out of reverence for Christ Jesus. So now he says in verse 10, and this is a pivot point, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So husbands, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Wives, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Children, the same thing. Fathers, the same thing. Masters, the same thing. Slaves, the same thing. And he says, whatever relationship you're in, and however that is laid out by the world system or by choice through marriage or that sort of thing, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So the devil is trying to kill, to steal, and to destroy, and he's trying to destroy everything about the gospel. He's trying to suppress the truth of the gospel that can be manifested in our relationships one to another. So he's going to be after our relationships. So he goes on to say, remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If you're having a quarrel with your mate, if you're having a quarrel with your wife is not your enemy. Mm-hmm. You two have been joined together. You are one flesh. You are one in Christ Jesus. So she's not your enemy. And your husband is not your enemy. Remember that. There's somebody else. There's another enemy. And that's who we wrestle against. So we need to be cognizant of that very truth. And here's who we wrestle against. We wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. cosmic powers over this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I mean, why in the world are there master-slave relationships? Because of the cosmic forces in this world, because of the authorities in this world, because of elites or whatever it might be, the wealthy who say this is the way it's going to be, the one who has the gold rules type of thing. Those are the forces that we are wrestling against. So remember that, be strong in the Lord, and you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, talk about hope. That is amazing hope.
Yeah.
He doesn't say you're gonna win battles. It means Satan is going to throw all of this junk at you, but when it's all said and done, guess who's standing?
You are.
You are.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're strong in the Lord, and he has kept you upright. That's exactly what he wants to do, is to keep you upright. And he does it as you put on that full armor of God.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, session 13 in our study of Ephesians. And, you know, folks, it's impossible to overemphasize the fact that we need your help, ongoing support to keep this message and this ministry on the air and online. And we would love for you to join with us today. If you can and make a donation right now, we would love to have you partner with us at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net. And we would love for you to come alongside of us and help support this message and keep the message going here at Basic Gospel and across this country and around the world, literally.
Yes, indeed. And the more people that can join us, the better.
Yeah.
We want to just expand Basic Gospel Nation with more and more people partnering with us in this good news of Jesus Christ. And as more and more people do that, then we're going to expand our reach.
Yes.
So come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel.
There will never be a better message.
Better message, never a better investment that you can make as a believer in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So back to our study. So we're in Ephesians 6, and we're talking about the full armor of God. And sometimes we isolate this from the context.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just talk about this armor. But we need this armor as it relates to all these relationships that we're in. We need the full armor of God to protect us as husbands and wives. Why? Because there are spiritual forces of darkness trying to pry us apart, mm-hmm. trying to keep us from reflecting Christ's love for the church in our marriage one to another. So there's forces of darkness trying to do that. There are forces of darkness that are trying to put a wedge between fathers and children, between children and their parents. And so we need to have this full armor of God to protect us in those relationships so that we can continue to love one another as God in Christ has loved us, that we can continue being submissive one to another out of reverence for Christ. And the same thing with slaves and masters. Mm-hmm. We need to have the full armor of God to protect us within those relationships. So he lays out what that full armor is, and he says for us to take it up so that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Again, there's our hope.
Yeah.
God wants us to stand, and he's going to enable that to happen by his strength, by his power. So he says, fasten on the belt of truth. What do we need more than anything? Truth. Truth is going to help us defend the lies that Satan is going to throw our way, because that's Satan's scheme. That's all that he has. That's the only weapon that he has, are lies. And he's throwing those at us in any way, shape, or form that he can. Now, there's a lot of fishermen that are going to get mad at me right now.
Uh-oh.
But just step back just for a minute. And let me give this illustration. We think Satan knows us. We think he knows all of our weak points and that sort of thing. He doesn't. He doesn't have that kind of power. He is not omniscient. So he's like the fisherman up there who says, I know there are fish down below, and I know they're going to bite on something, but I'm not sure what they're going to bite on. So I'm going to start with spinnerbait, and I'm going to see if they go for that. If they don't go for that, I'm going to change bait, and I'm going to put something else on the end of the line. And I'm going to throw that out there, and I'm going to keep throwing stuff out there until they finally bite. And when they bite, I've got them. So that's what Satan does with each and every one of us. He keeps throwing stuff at us, every kind of lie imaginable, until we bite. And then he thinks he has us, but he doesn't. Why? Because the Lord has us, and we are always the Lord's, and the Lord will give us the truth and help us to see what that lie was that we bid on, and will equip us to be able to recognize it the next time it comes our way. So we need the belt of truth to protect us against the lies of Satan. We need the breastplate of righteousness. Why? He's going to accuse us all the time. And we have to recognize that we stand in the very righteousness of Christ, that we have been made righteous in him. He took our sin, and in exchange, he gave us his righteousness. Then we're to put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We have a sending to go out into the world and to take truth, take the love of Jesus Christ out there in the world. We're to take up the shield of faith. We're not called to live by rules or regulations or rituals or human effort or any of those sort of things. We are to live by faith. And that shield of faith is going to deflect those arrows that come our way. And then we're to take the helmet of salvation. That guards our minds. That guards our thinking. It keeps our thoughts aligned with the truth of the gospel. So we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the armor of God that enables us to carry out this command to be filled with the Spirit. The world is going to try to move us in every direction other than the love of God, one toward another. This armor of God will protect us, will enable us to stand when all of those darts have been thrown at us. And as we're standing, we can continue to go about our business of loving one another as God in Christ has loved us. So therefore, pray at all times in the Spirit, not according to the flesh, not according to the ways of this world, not according to the weapons of this world, but according to the Spirit of God that is empowering us and strengthening us in our inner being to know the very love of God and to live that out in our relationship. So pray in the Spirit. Keep alert. Man, sometimes we go through life just oblivious to what's going on around us. Stay alert. Keep alert. Recognize what's happening.
That may be one of the Spirit's greatest gifts to us is alertness.
That's exactly right. Therefore, pray for the saints. And then I love how Paul ends this. Pray, he says, pray for me so that I may boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, even while I'm in chains. And I think that's one of our prayers, that this gospel message can go forth in strength and power and can attract people to the life that can be theirs through faith in Jesus Christ. So arm yourselves. Put on the full armor of God. Be strong in the Lord, and you will stand and take your stand so that the love of God can pour through you.
Indeed. Well, friends, thanks for being with us for this excellent study today, our study in Ephesians. We hope you'll be with us every Friday, but if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can access them anytime at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. A quick reminder once again that as you click donate at basicgospel.net, you're helping to make Basic Gospel possible every day as we proclaim the truth of God's grace and love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please donate today if you can and help Basic Gospel get this word out. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that our listener line is always open. And if you have a question, you can leave us a voicemail. Number 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email a question to bob@basicgospel.net. A very simple address, bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all of this ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again on Monday for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.